We'll be looking at Haggai chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Whenever anyone would ask me at the conference, what are you preaching on? And I say, well, Haggai, of course. You know, lots of raised eyebrows. So thank you for indulging the summer intern and going through Haggai with us. So that's in page 940 in the Pew Bible. Haggai chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Listen as I read God's word. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord. From that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. And when one came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would be only 20. I smote you and every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would use this passage to show us how you bless your people. We pray that you would work in us through your Spirit, that you would make these words come alive, and that through them that you might build us up. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1858, there was a man named John Payton. He was a member of a sister denomination to the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Scotland. And he felt called to preach the gospel to cannibal tribes in the New Hebrides Islands. And so in 1858, he went. He went with his wife. And he arrived there. And 3 months after he arrived, they had a son. They had a brand new son. Things were going well. They were building their house. But that's when things took a turn for the worse. 19 days after his son was born, his wife died of sickness. Soon after his wife died of sickness, his newborn son died of sickness. And over the next several years, his life was constantly threatened as he tried to share the gospel with them. And finally, it was threatened to such a point that a few years after he got there, he managed to barely escape with his life as a trading ship went by. And he left those islands with no fruit, with seeing no fruit, with having accomplished nothing from an earthly perspective. And as we think about John Payton's experiences on these islands, we might question why he went. We might question his motives. We might say, John, are you really thinking seriously here? Your wife? He knew his wife most likely could die. He knew he could die. He knew the risks, but he decided to go. And we might say, John, that it's not worth it. It's not worth doing that. At best, it's a disappointment what happened. And at worst, it's a waste of their lives. But as we think about what was God doing in that situation, was God in control? Did God remember what His promises were? Why did He let this happen? And so as we go through this life, it's easy to think, does God remember His promises? Does God remember what He actually wrote in the Bible as I go through this life? John Payton, no doubt, had to be thinking, is God really going to build His church? Is he really faithful to that promise? And so maybe you are thinking about promises that God has made. Promises to provide for his people. To watch over them like he watches over a sparrow. Even more so than a sparrow. And so right now in your life, you may not see God's promises being fulfilled. But rest assured that in difficult situations, the response is not to give up on God. Not to give up on his promises. Here in this passage, No doubt the Israelites were wondering about God. They had obeyed God. They had started building the temple. But God's blessing had not come upon them. God's blessing had not come to their society. And so in many ways, they were in the same situations as they were before they started building the temple. The crops were not growing. Things were not prospering. But Haggai tells them, he tells them clearly that God will bless them, that God remembers his promises, and he will bring about fruit in their society. So Haggai tells you today that as a child of God, trust God's promised blessings. Place your trust in the blessings that God has promised for you in his word. And so the first thing we see in this passage is that Christ has redeemed you as a people, but he blesses you according to his own timing. Christ blesses you according to his own timing. Look at verses 15 through 17 with me. It says, "But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would only be 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would only be 20. I smote you and every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord." And so here we see this familiar phrase, consider your ways. Think about from this day onward. And Haggai does a little bit of a recap. He describes the situation before they started building the temple. And he describes it by using this picture of how things were just were leaving. So he says that when they went to get grain, 20 measures became 10. And when they went to draw wine, 50 measures became 20. And so he paints this picture of a society where nothing is working out, where things are slowly decreasing out from their very eyes, out from under their very eyes. Now maybe you think about your bank account, and it seems like it always goes faster than you think it should. It seems like the credit card bill, when you check it online, always goes higher, and the bank account always goes faster. And that's what the people are experiencing here. Things are just going faster than they thought they would. And they're not having the supplies necessary to continue on. And so if you remember, this was a difficult time for them as a society. A difficult time because the crops were not growing. They were not being blessed economically. But Haggai prophesied about their lack of rebuilding the temple. And they turned. They turned to God. And they were convicted of sin. And they obeyed what he had to say. And through that, they were convicted of their own idolatry and instead placed their trust in Christ, placed their trust in his will for their life. And so through all of this, God disciplined his people to bring him back to himself. God disciplined the Israelites so that they would no longer place their trust in themselves, but rather in him. And so it tells us here in verse 17 some of the things God used to discipline these people. God used extraordinary things here. He used a scorching wind. Now, the scorching wind described here is an east wind. If you know anything about the geography of Israel, it's on the coast. And a west wind would be a cool wind. A cool wind off of the sea. A sea breeze. But a scorching wind would be an east breeze, blowing over the mountains from the inner part of the land. And it would be a hot wind. And it would scorch the crops. And it would bring destruction with it. He also talks about hail and mildew destroying the crops. Whenever there's a hailstorm, the car salesmen always have used car sales with hail damage. But imagine the crops being destroyed by hail. And even when the crops are stored, they experience mildew. And they are destroyed that way. And so God uses these things, not accidental things, but intentional things, to discipline his people. But we have to understand the difference between discipline and judgment. And so discipline is not punishment for your sin. When God disciplines you in this life, It's not punishment for your sins. In Christ, if you are in Christ, you cannot be punished for your sins. You cannot be punished for what you have done. Because Christ has paid for your sins. Christ has taken that punishment onto His own life. And I think often we think that we have to bear some of that punishment. As if Christ paid 75% of the punishment, and we take up the extra 25%. That God is punishing us for our sins. He's not doing that at all. He is instead disciplining you to bring you back, to sanctify you. You will never be punished by God because of your sin. Now, you may be disciplined, and you may bear the sinful effects of that sin. But Christ has taken the punishment. There's no double judgment of sin. I don't have to take the punishment, and then Christ has to take the punishment. So when He disciplines us, it's not because He's angry. It's not because He's a hateful God, and He's out for vengeance and revenge. But it's because He loves you. And He disciplines the Israelites here because He loves them. And so when we get caught up in thinking God loves us because we're good, or God loves us because we do good things, then when we do sin, our world falls apart. When I commit a sin, I doubt, does God really love me? Does God really care for me? But instead, when we see that Christ has taken all of the punishment, we know that God loves us not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. And so God disciplines these people in Haggai because He loves them. And we saw how they are turned back to His way. But even as they obey God, He doesn't immediately bless them. And that's the second thing we see in this passage. God works in you so that you rely on Him. God works in your heart, not so you become caught up in yourself, but so you rely on Him. Look at verses 18 and the first half of 19 with me. It says, "Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit." Now we might be wondering, why does God not bless the people as soon as they start building the temple? Why does He not pour out His storehouse as a blessing on Israel? But God tells them to consider the situation. He says, from this day onward. So it specifically points out the 24th day of the ninth month. And it seems as if this was the day that the temple was dedicated to God. This was the day when the temple was dedicated and set apart. Not that it was finished, but it was founded on this day. But society is still unsettled. Even though the temple is dedicated to God, they are still not receiving the blessings of God. And so Haggai asks a question. It's a difficult question, but he says, is the seed still in the barn? And by that question, he's asking the people and expecting the response of, no, the seed is not in the barn. It's been planted. The seed is in the ground. The trees are growing. But the next part of verse 19 says that none of these things have borne any fruit. So these key economic crops, the olive tree, the pomegranate tree, the wine, or the grapevine, the fig tree, none of these things have borne fruit. And so you can imagine the pressure that the people are under. Here it is in the ninth month. They are into the growing season, and they have not seen any fruit borne by their crops. And so as they run out of food from the previous harvest, they begin to wonder, is God going to bless these crops? Will He actually come through on what He has promised us? And so they're wondering, are the famines of the last 20 years going to continue? Are we going to obey God? Are we going to sacrifice so much in building this temple? Well, He doesn't come through with His blessings. And so here we see that God is testing their obedience. He is testing to make sure why they really believe. Do they believe only because of what they can get from God? Or do they believe because of who God is, because of what God has done for them and what God has saved them from. But we see throughout the Bible that God often calls His people to wait for His blessing. He calls them to obedience, but He calls them to wait. If you think of Noah, there was 120 years from when he was commanded to build the ark to when the water came. Think of Abraham. He was given a promise of a son, but he still had to wait many years for that blessing to be fulfilled. And Israel as a nation waited thousands of years before Christ came as their Savior. And so why does God wait with these blessings? Well, often from our perspective, it seems like He delays. He delays with His blessings. But that's not how God sees it. God is an eternal God. He is outside of time. And so when God chooses not to bless us, it's not that He's delaying. It's not that He's waiting. But instead, He is carrying out His plan. All things work together for your good. All things were working together for the good of the Israelites. And so God waits for several reasons. And we saw one of the reasons in the passage we read in Hebrews 12. It says in the third verse that we might share His holiness. So God disciplines us. He causes blessings to wait so that we might share in His holiness, so that we might become more and more like Christ. And so by this delay, by this waiting, God sanctifies you. He builds you up to be more and more like Christ, so that instead you are content with God's plans. You are content with what He has in store for you. If God would have just dumped blessing after blessing on the Israelites the day after they began building the temple, no doubt pride would have came into their life. No doubt they would have taken the blessing of God for granted. They would have just assumed it would always be there. But God chooses to wait with His blessings so that you have the chance to show that your obedience is from the heart. It's not just a materialistic-based obedience. And through this, Haggai is teaching the people that you cannot rely on yourself. You cannot rely on your own ability to make the crops grow, but instead you have to rely on God. And that's an important lesson for us in our society. You cannot rely on your own ability to cause blessings to come upon yourself, but instead you must wait upon God. We went out door-to-door evangelizing this last week, or a week and a half ago, and we knocked on many doors. And we were talking in the back, and there wasn't a lot of direct fruit from that. I know personally, I knocked on doors for 45 minutes, and no one was interested in talking at all. And I was frustrated, I have to admit, when I came home. I was frustrated saying, God, you tell us to evangelize. You tell us to share the gospel. If we're doing this, why aren't you blessing it? But I think God has lessons in that for me and for the congregation. Often I want to go share the gospel, but I don't pray beforehand. Or I put the trust on myself. And so there's many reasons. It's a complex subject. But often we expect God's blessing just like that. But by His grace, God pours out His blessings at the right time in your life. By His grace, God pours out His blessings at the right time in your life. And this is the last thing we see in this passage, in the second half of verse 19. I'll read all of 19. It says, is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. And so God sets their fears at ease. He reassures the people, from this day onward, I will bless you because of what you have done. The harvest will be bountiful. They will experience a great provision from God. And this situation shows that God blesses His people because of His love for them. Not that they create an obligation where He has to bless them. Often we think we can make a deal with God. If I do all of these things, if I go to church, or if I witness, or if I give my life to you, then you have to do these things. We make a deal with him. But that's not how God's blessings work. He blesses according to his grace, according to his timetable. And so God loves to shower his children with blessings. Often we might think that God is a mean God, that he is withholding something from me. He is withholding something that keeps me from enjoying life, that keeps me from being a better Christian. But that's not how it is at all. I'm sure all of you can think of times in your life where you can look back and something that you really wanted, God didn't give it to you, and how he has worked through that to bring you to this point today. When I was in college, I really thought I wanted to go to law school. But I wasn't doing that for the right reasons at all. And God really frustrated those plans. And I couldn't understand why God was not blessing me. I couldn't understand why God was frustrating these plans. But he was frustrating those plans because he had a better plan. Because he had a better blessing. And I think as you have searched for a career or as you have grown up, each one of you has had similar situations to that. So God blesses his people because they have turned from themselves to him. In many ways, God does reward his people for what we do. But it's not based completely on our works. 2 weeks ago, we saw how we often make an idol out of materialism. We often store up treasure on earth rather than in heaven. And why is this so hard? We often store up treasure on this earth because we don't believe that God will bless us. We don't believe that our future is in his hand. And so we're responsible for our own security. So by storing up things on this earth, we protect ourselves from having to rely on God. But here, God is telling the people, I want you to rely completely on me. Put your trust completely on my provision. And one commentator described the situation succinctly. He said, when they put their own work first, they had trouble, frustration, and disappointment. But when they had determined to serve God, they experienced peace, fulfillment, and blessing. So you might be wondering today, what does obedience even matter? It seems like I obey, I obey, I obey, but nothing comes out of it. I do all these things, but I don't really see God's blessing. We try to share the gospel with those around us, but we don't see God's blessing. But the message of Haggai is that when you serve God, he provides that peace. He provides fulfillment, and he will bless. So you may not know when the blessing will come, or you may not know how it comes. It may not come according to your will. But rest assured that God will pour out his blessings on his people. Jesus said, seek first my kingdom, and all of these things will be given to you. I think that's such an amazing verse. It's so contrary to how we think. He says, seek first my kingdom, and all of these things will be given to you. So even if we don't see immediate fruit from some of the ministries or some of the things that the church engages in, or some of the things you do in your own life, trust that when you are seeking God's kingdom, he will bless you. He will bless you according to what you need. Continue obeying because he is working in your life for good. And so maybe in 5 years you'll think back to that blessing you thought you needed or you thought God should provide. And it wasn't even something that would be beneficial to you. So John G. Payton, the missionary we talked about at the beginning, he went home after those discouraging years on the New Hebrides Islands. And he got remarried. And 10 years later, he went back again. He went back again to those islands. And through the work over the next 10 years on those islands, he saw revival take place. He saw these cannibalistic people who did nothing but fight and engage in war and eating one another. and worship of their own gods and their own chiefs. He saw these people turn to God. He saw great fruit from what they did. He saw thousands of conversions. And a revival took place on those islands. Now today, maybe God is calling you to step out in faith. Maybe God is calling you to obedience, to difficult obedience, to doing things that you don't necessarily like to do. But God calls each one of us to put aside our idols and to step out in obedience into His promises. Psalm 34, we sang earlier, it says, "O taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed are those who trust in Him." So the second part says, how blessed are those who trust in Him. But the first part of the verse says, taste and see. That's experiencing. That's stepping out and tasting God's blessings. Tasting God's work. And until we engage in that obedience, until we engage in God's work, we can't experience it. We can't taste and see it. And so often as we live this life, we don't know if God blesses or not, because we never really leave our shell. And so here, Haggai calls us to radical obedience, trusting that God will fulfill His promises to bless His people. And so God may not bless you according to your desires, according to your wishes. Hardship may accompany obedience, as we saw with John Payton. But be sure that when you are seeking God's kingdom, He will provide for you and He will bless you. So as a child of God, as someone who has been redeemed by His precious, by the blood of His Son, His precious Son, know that God loves you. And so as a child of God, trust that He will bless you according to His plan. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess that often we don't trust you. Often we don't trust you to bless us. We don't trust you to provide for us. And so we pray that as we go through this life, that we would step out into your providence, that we would take a leap of faith, per se, and trust you to be true to your word. Trust you to provide for us as we follow you. And so we pray that you would comfort us and work in our hearts so that we might have a greater faith in you. And so that through your provision, we might worship you and praise you for what you have done in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.